This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today, and I am not coming in tomorrow unless something major goes wrong. I'm actually not driving home from work. I had a couple of garbage bags of plastic water bottles that I needed to drop off at the recycling place, so I was actually in a little bit early today, so I'm leaving a little early, and I thought I'd go ahead and take care of that today. So anyways, I don't think it's going to be much longer, because I'll cut it short, because the last couple of these, I've gotten verbose, so it's time to just say, I'm home, that's it, goodbye. Anyways, it's been a good week, got a lot of good things accomplished this week. Had my little talk on Saturday at the Global Leadership Summit. That seemed to go well. In fact, today I had someone who was there stopped me and told me how much he enjoyed the talk, and it was one of the highlights of the whole summit. So I said, well, thank you very much, sir. And I've got another talk on Monday. But that's just like 5 minutes, but it's for everybody. And so, man, I am driving under this massive tree. It's just massive. Cool tree. Love trees. Love trees. So anyways, I've got another talk on Monday in the early morning session. It's like 9 to 11:30, but I'm only in there for 5 minutes, and I'm not sure when I'm in there for 5 minutes. So I'm just gonna like go when I go there. And I think this will be all of the missionaries that are in for missionary training and missionary renewal. So there'll be a gang of them in there. We'll probably be a couple hundred in there for that. And we practiced on that today. Found a little sadness today. The church where we're doing this, big church, beautiful church, they use Presenter Pro for their stuff, and so we were using the web browser that is built into Pro Presenter, built into Pro Presenter, and apparently it doesn't render some things quite right. So our line charts, they just look ugly. But I'm just going to throw a little pixie dust and say, this is not how your charts will look when you bring it up on your browser, but Pro Presenter, the tool we're using here to display this, doesn't seem to want to render these charts correctly. So that's okay. You can at least see that there are charts there, and we can talk about the different things that the charts show. It's just one of those little, technology. Gotta love it. So anyways, that's coming up next week. After that, then I can get settled in and just really focus on the next project. I've been working along on the next project, and we've been keeping that going, but you know, there's always interruptions when you're getting ready to launch something. And so, you know, we should have that wrapped. Speaking of new projects and getting ready to launch something and trying to work on old projects, I did get all of the files uploaded this last week for Windfall Broadcast. So it is officially out the door at this point. There's a couple of little things on there that I could have done better, but you know what? We're getting to that level of passable mediocrity. That's what we're going for. Just getting enough done to where we can move on to the next spec, because we got 22 more to go. So that's all up. My beta readers are leaving reviews at this point, and anybody who leaves a review, the first 10 reviews, actually gets a free copy of the book, the production book, autographed, made out to them personally. So I've got that plea at the moment. I've got that plea out to my beta readers, and they are working on those things. And I think I've got 6 out there already, so there's only 4 more to go. But I will send an email to my beta readers and say, hey, you know, four more slots, so if you want one, now's the time. So those books should be in on Monday, and I'll package them up on Monday and send them out. And then I am for sure on, that'll be the last thing, on to Windfall, the Narrow Door. Started reading through Windfall, the Narrow Door after being away from it for a while. And so I'm going through and doing some editing and cleaning some things up. I had gotten a little bit, when I was doing Windfall Broadcast, I had gotten a little kind of plodding and verbose in the prose, and I cut a bunch of that stuff out. And so I'm going through Windfall now and sort of dressing that stuff up. Allowing myself to not worry about writing that was driving through to the next. And, you know, I need to clean that up. And so I need to focus on, okay, how can I make this section shiny, you know, to where it's like, you know, really keeps the reader's interest. So I've started that process a little bit. It does slow me down on my read-through, but I think overall it'll make a stronger book. So that's all puttering along. I haven't quite gotten settled in exactly how Windfall, the Narrow Door, is going to end. And I'm not really sure. Oh, hey, the rain's coming. I'm not really sure if it's the narrow door or a narrow door. The next one is A Seed in Secret. So maybe this is the narrow door. I haven't quite settled in how the rest of this book is going to land. I've got a lot of pieces, and I just have to figure out how I'm going to fit those pieces together. This will be interesting. I've only got 50,000 words left on this book. I really want to bring it in somewhere around 50,000 words more. I'm already at 75, so that'd be about 125,000 words. Put it at about 400 pages or so, which is a nice length. That's, you know, it's enough to sink your teeth in and keep you interested for a while. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how this works out. It's interesting because at this point of the process, you know, there are doubts. There are, the flesh goes, oh, I don't know. You know, but then after it goes out to the beta readers and they get back and they give suggestions and it gets cleaned up and you're doing the final read through, you know, you're thinking, hey, this is not too bad. So that's good. That's good, especially because the first two books, they ended well. They both ended well, and I think this book is going to end well, too. I've got the idea, and it fits well with the parable, and so I'm looking forward to getting to the epilogue and writing it out, because I think it's going to be fun. Here we go. I should have just taken that left-hand turn. I should have just taken it. I could have made it. Anyways, what else? We have some friends staying with us this week. And we hadn't actually met the husband yet. My wife has been good friends with the wife for many years, and they just recently got married. They're both in their 50s. We met them last Monday night, went out to grab a bite to eat, and, you know, just instantly friends. It's just one of instantly friends. So that's fun. So they've been staying with us, and we've been getting caught up at night after they get back from attending the seminars that they're attending through the day. They'll be with us, I think, for another week and a half, maybe till the end of the month. I'm not for sure, but it's been a delight having them with us, and they're both really good people and really have a heart for missions, and so So that's been fun. My dad, who took a terrible tumble a couple of weeks ago, he seems to be getting better. He's gonna start exercising to try to work out some of the soreness that he still has. I guess when he tumbled down the stairs, he said, "Yeah, Phil," he said, "been looking at my knee." He said, "but my whole side of my leg is black and blue." Which, you know, I haven't necessarily had him drop his pants so I can look at his thigh. But that's apparently where he banged himself as he was going down the stairs. He said that the skin wasn't broken or anything like that. He was just black and blue down his side. So I told him, "Well, Pop," I said, "we'll just have to, you know, let it kind of recover. Your body's going to recover." So that's one of the reasons he's so sore, probably, is because he really bruised himself up on his right side. But somehow, no bones were broken. I mean, it's just miraculous. I don't know, because he went down brick stairs. But it's good to see him get back on his feet, feeling better. So that's all working out. Obviously, going to take him grocery shopping tomorrow, as per normal. And he said he's actually going to come and walk around and see if he can make it through the stuff. So that's settling down. So, you know, all in all, everything's good. Everything's just really, really good. Grandkids are fun. Daughter and son-in-law are fun. Everything's fun. It's just good. Just life is good. So, anyways, I actually have a pretty short topic today. And I've still got 10 minutes to go, but I really don't usually have any trouble filling up the time, so we'll probably be fine, but this is actually kind of a short topic. But the reason I like it is because it confirms what I've been saying. You know, to the man with a hammer, all the world's a nail. So, of course, for years now, I've been, you know, proclaiming this idea about flesh and spirit, and that the flesh hates you and is going to do everything in its power to destroy you. It's going to do everything it can to get you focused on the wrong things. And so when you're focusing on the wrong things, you're actually making the flesh stronger within you. And if you do that, no good will come of it. And what you really need to do is listen to the voice of the spirit within you and respond to things that are spirit. And it's really not that hard to tell the difference between the two of them. When I sit down with people in restaurants and go through this spiel for the first time, I just grab a napkin and, if I have a pen, draw a line down the middle of the napkin and write flesh, spirit, two columns, and then I just go hate, love, condemnation, mercy, isolation, community, you know, selfishness, selflessness. I mean, it just ding, 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 ding. And pretty soon people go, "Oh, yeah, 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 yeah." Because we inherently recognize those things that are flesh versus those things that are spirit. So I was very interested to come across an article, and the title of the article was "Researchers Say They've Cracked the Code to Being Happy." Oh, okay. Well, let's see what we say here. So I think this article was CBS New York, something like that. And they were talking about Mayo Clinic. Sorry, but this is, it's been a long week. This are not a bunch of crackpots, okay? This is Mayo Clinic has been studying this. And they say after decades of studying and working with tens of thousands of patients, researchers at Mayo Clinic say they have cracked the code to being happy. All right, so they give a couple of anecdotal things. They talk about this guy named Lionel Ketchian. In fact, that he's approaching a major milestone. He said he will soon celebrate the 25th anniversary of a very important date. It's not his birthday, it's not his wedding anniversary. It's the exact moment when he realized that he was happy. He said, I found it, I felt it, didn't want to let go of it. And so apparently he has been able to preserve that. So the question is how? Okay, what mechanisms do we use to maintain happiness? Now, the word happy actually has some connotations to it. And the word is actually built on happenstance. And so some people take exception with the idea of we need to be happy because our happiness is not based on happenstance. And that's absolutely true. But in the common vernacular, what we're really talking about when we say I'm happy, it's that I have this sense. I have this sense of well-being. I have this sense that everything's okay and that everything is going to be okay. Have this sense of it. So they quote a couple of people before they get to the actual principles. They quote a psychiatrist named John Tamarin, who says that for many people, the root of everything they're chasing, a better job, more money, or true love, is happiness. But the endless pursuit often backfires. He said, if you lead your life always wanting for a great thing to happen, you will probably be unhappy. And after decades of research and a dozen clinical trials, researchers at Mayo Clinic say that they've cracked the code to being happy and they've published it in a handbook. Now, I don't have the handbook. I probably should have gotten the handbook before I did this podcast, but that's okay. They give a synopsis in the article, and why do I need anything more? Yeah, because everything this article says, I'm sure, is completely accurate. Anyways, so Dr. Amit Sood led the research, and he said the first and foremost way to be happy is to focus our attention. He said you can choose to live focusing on what is right, what is not right in your life, he said. And he said that experts say the human mind is instinctively restless, wandering from good thoughts to sad thoughts, scary thoughts, and everything in between. Okay, well, for the most part, we call that flesh. The article goes on to say, but if we learn to command our thoughts, shifting our perspectives away from the negative, i.e. flesh, and embracing the positive, i.e. spirit, we will be happier. Yeah, we will. Because you can always find stuff to complain about. You can always find stuff to be unhappy about. And the reason you can find those things is because the flesh will whisper those things to you and try to get you hooked listening to it. And the reason it wants to whisper those things to you is not because knowing about all the things that are terrible in the world is actually going to make you happy. It's because it will make you unhappy. It will set you on a road to destruction. And so that is the flesh's prescription for how it can get you moving down a road to destruction. Always focus on the negative. The interesting thing is that there is a quality that we all desire in our lives, resilience, you know, the ability to bounce back from a hit. And Dr. Sood says that resilience has everything to do with happiness. They said the clinic, Mayo Clinic's research shows that the degree of happiness that people enjoy has to do with how resilient they are to life's curveballs. Happy people are very good at compartmentalizing and creating boundaries. So one of the things Dr. Sood says is, let's say that you've had a bad day at work. Okay, those are going to happen sometimes. He said, when you get home, for the first 3 minutes, forget about it, park it, and meet your family as if they are long-lost friends. In other words, make a decision to be happy in that moment. Make a decision to be appreciative of your family in that moment. Because we can all be appreciative for the people who are in our lives. Now, I realize there's some people in your lives that are going to rub you the wrong way, blah, 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 blah. But maybe if you treat them with more kindness and compassion, maybe some of that will change. And he said, here's what's interesting. One of the biggest hindrances to being happy is too much thinking about one's self, research show. So if you are inward focus, in my vernacular, if you are listening to the flesh feed you all this stuff about how I'm not happy, I don't get what I deserve, I think people all around me should recognize that I'm special. If you listen to all of that, you will be unhappy. As the psychologist says, complainers are never going to be happy. Happiness is a decision. I agree with that completely. Happiness, in my vernacular, is the decision to stop listening to your flesh telling you why everything is wrong in your life and start listening to your spirit, which is going to be whispering to you about the things that you can be grateful for in your life. And of course, the big punchline here is, why did Mayo Clinic study this in the first place? And the simple answer is that Mayo Clinic studied this because research shows that people who are happier are actually healthier. And I think the reason that is because if you are complaining about stuff, if you're all kind of riled up all the time, your body is going to respond to that stress because it's going to produce stress hormones. And having your body saturated with those stress hormones all the time is not healthy. Your body was never designed to run in that kind of environment. So whatever you need to do, you know, if you need to get outside, go for a walk, just walk out. One of the great things about where we are is we've got 40 acres that we own behind us. And we can, getting my mail, one moment. And we, you know, if you need to go out and go for a little walk, go out and walk on the 40 acres. It's great. It's quiet. You know, you can hear some birds. Every once in a while, you see a deer. You see some turkey. It's cool. It's absolutely fabulous. Looks like our friends are coming home here. They're home a little early. It's either our friends or Dave. I don't know which. We'll find out here in a second. Anyway, so, Mayo Clinic. It is our friends. Yay! Got to get back into the garage here. But anyways, Mayo Clinic. Ta-ta! In my interpretation, Mayo Clinic agrees with me. Yay! So, life is good. Be happy. Don't listen to your flesh. Focus on the spirit. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.